As you're turning to Psalm 103 and verse 11, the theme verse of our sermon this evening, I think it would be helpful to point out what we won't look at tonight, and we didn't sing the second half of Psalm 103 just now, but it speaks of the Lord as a father who pities his children. I want to remind you that, there's two sides to the coin of a good parent: discipleship and discipline. And discipleship, along with discipline, involves mercy. So I have in mind, I had to be really tough with one of my children today. And when there was clear repentance and tears, and by the way, in this case, there was no physical rod that was needed, then I said, "Come here and let me hug you." And I held them as they cried, and I express forgiveness. And so God is both. He's a good father to us. Hebrews 12, he disciplines them whom he loves because he's a good father. But here in Psalm 103, the other side of it is, he also forgives those whom he loves because he's a good father. And he remembers that we are weak like dust. So have that in view as we come to Psalm 103 this evening, verse 11 being our text. Before we give our eyes to the text, I want you to see something special with me. But it will take some extra effort from you tonight. Are you ready? It's going to take some extra effort. It's going to take some special imagination with me. I'm going to ask you to go with me on a bit of a ride. It's going to be worth it. I'd like you to look up with me together, as it were, with eyes of faith. I want you to come with me and keep looking up really, really high. Higher and higher and higher. But we'll try to take it by degrees. First, I would like you to think about the sequoia trees that, once again, you who get to live in Southern California have an incredible opportunity to see. Tallest trees in the world. We got to see them for the first time. I never thought I'd see them in my life. Got to see them last year, a little over a year ago. Amazing. Those sequoia trees average 150 to 280 feet tall. Anybody want to try to climb one? Doesn't even occur to you, does it? And have you ever seen a documentary of somebody up to the top taking samples of, it's like a whole different environment. It's a whole different ecosystem up there because it's so high, right? And if you're up there looking down with them, essentially, ooh, I wouldn't want to do that, right? They're really, really, really high. You know, it's tough to see the treetops. If you've been there, did you ever try to take a picture of the whole tree? I don't know about you, and I even have a little better camera than some. Can't be done. I mean, I got to get a really wide angle or get really far back, but then you don't quite get the sense of how tall they are. If you try to just look up at that tree, you keep trying to go back. You just can't get it in. It's so tall. It's so high. I want you to think, starting there with me, about height. But let's look higher. The tallest building in the world, yes, I had to look it up, and I try to remember how to pronounce it, the Burj Khalifa. It's an incredibly beautiful building. You see I encourage you to go watch a documentary on YouTube about how they built this thing. And I just always am amazed at these construction workers. I would never do it. It's so high. It's in Dubai, which is one of the United Arab Emirates on the Persian Gulf. We had a brother actually visit us here a few years ago from that area, the United Arab Emirates. In Dubai, the Burj Khalifa, this amazing, almost to me, space-like needle of a building, really high. It's over 2,716 feet tall. 160 stories. Now, it's a little dark, but if you look out there again, if you can see the one story, try to picture 160. It's incredible to just think about piling that up. Would you eat at the restaurant at the very top? Some of you are shaking your heads. I don't know. I might if I had a parachute buckled to me just in case, you know. Really remarkable when you think about it, because it's in the desert and just the air conditioning, they talk about that. They definitely need to make sure it's getting up there. And it's just incredible. But this incredibly high building, if you're at street level looking up, as they can joke, you've got to be careful you don't drown. Although I don't know that it ever rains there, but you just be like, oh, You know, that's kind of, sorry, I know, don't quit my day job. I borrowed that joke, but you know, it's so high. You just, I mean, you're literally going to have to look if you're standing here, just like straight vertical up, and you're not going to really see the top. Think of these heights and what it would be like to be up there and look down, but you can still see the pools and make out the buildings, you know, fairly well, but it's incredibly high. But let's look higher still. And this takes a little bit of imagination because you've got to go up to get there. It's a longer, more gradual advance until you're at the top. But the Laguna Mountains, I know many of you have enjoyed that. Going up there, I enjoy hiking up there sometimes. 6,378 feet above sea level, I think is how you would say it. Really high. I mean, it takes, I mean, from here like an hour or more to get up there. And, you know, when you get up there, I remember when we first time I was up there on the top of the mountains, you know, because then you can finally get over to the desert. I remember thinking, I said to Jen, it's like we're in Mars. It's like we're in another world because I've never seen mountains without a lot of trees on the very top. You know, it's like this completely different place with all these rocks. But you have this sense of you're like, I feel like we're touching the sun almost or something because it's so sunny here too. It's just so high. But, you know, if you go to the edge of the Laguna Mountains, those trails some of us like to hike in, you look out over the desert and it's down so far and it's so low. It's just this sense of the vastness of the height. In fact, I've been there sometimes, certain times a year, I guess where there's more moisture. And I noticed one time I said to Abe, or he might have said it, we're like walking on clouds. Like there's clouds like at our level. Wow. You have a sense of how high you are. But let's look higher still. El Capitan and Yosemite, 7,567 feet. You might have noticed this, I think it was this summer, if not fall, a significant section fell off of the face of El Capitan, as it can sometimes, and came crashing down, and the dust just looked like a forest fire of snow, just filling the forest all below. It's incredible. You can see some videos of it. And there's a guy at the top who was at the top just after it fell, who was climbing it. Why would you do that when there's a perfectly good ground below to stay on? You know, and he's looking down, and you know, it's incredible to see his vantage point from up there. You can go see that, and just the sense of height, you almost feel dizzy just looking at it at a picture. You can't even see the climbers on it, really. It's so big and tall and high. I think I shared with you when we were there last year, when we exited, we ended up leaving after dark, and we went back to the tunnel view area. And so we thought, well, let's get out and look at night, see what it's like. And you don't see too much, but El Capitan, you see these tiny little lights, like a little poke through a cloth of like going through a sheet, right? And it's those climbers sleeping, again, when there's a perfectly fine cot down on the ground, you know, sleeping on the edge of the rock wherever they've had to lay. It takes like 3 days to climb that thing, if you know what you're doing, right? And they're so small, you just see a little tiny speck of what their light must be, and it kind of flickers, you know, and it's almost like looking at little stars in the distance. That's how big and high this thing is. But let's look higher still. Let's think about maybe perhaps skydivers. I don't have any plans to ever do that. But let's think about the average altitude to be jumping out of a plane. And I've kind of been borrowing, my professor for preaching used to share, I'll spare you what the illustration was about, but he'd talk about when they're in the plane training in the military, you have to jump out of the plane. And if you were to land on someone's open parachute, you have to know how to gather your parachute in and run off that parachute and jump again. Yeah, I know, that's kind of scary to think about too. But I always think about what he says, he's so funny. I know, why would somebody jump out of a perfectly good plane? But they didn't have a choice. But to do that, you have to be up about, you know, 13,000 feet. That's pretty high. And, you know, what's interesting is until you pull the parachute, you know, the skydiving, some would somehow consider that entertainment and enjoyable amusement and use of your money. But, you know, what do they do for a while? They don't usually just pull the chutes right away, right? Yeah, you see those videos of people kind of like, it's almost like they're flying, right? You know? It's kind of when they maybe grab hands and, you know, it looks like they're flying. But they're not flying, right? What are they actually doing? They're falling. They're free falling with style, you might say, if I can borrow another allusion there from a movie the kids know. But how can they be free falling? Usually they can get about 60 seconds. They can get a minute in of almost the sense of flying. They're so high, that's why. They got this 1 minute hang time, if you will, that's almost like they're flying. It's available to them because there's just so much space before they need to pull that chute and then slowly descend. But let's go higher still. Mount Everest. 29,029 feet. You need to remember to bring, among other things, your oxygen tanks. It's so high. But we're not there yet. Let's look still higher. A commercial plane. Many of you have been in a plane flying somewhere. There's a reason that we usually pray before takeoff, because we realize how high up we are. 39,000 feet is the average height. Some of you probably wish I did not tell you that just now. You're way, way up there. Above the clouds usually, right? At cruising altitude, you don't even see the earth. You're above the clouds, at least some of them. And it's a beauty to behold, right? But you have the sense of, wow, am I high. And if you're like me, I don't want to think about that anymore because I might go crazy. But it's so high. But you're not even out of the atmosphere there. We're not even out of the atmosphere where we're headed yet. Let's go higher. Let's think about the NASA Space Station, where some of our astronauts are, I believe, usually with others from other countries now. The orbit height, where the NASA space station is orbiting above the Earth, the height over the Earth is 254 miles. Now we're into miles, 254 miles up there. That's more than double the drive from San Diego to Los Angeles. That's how high up it is over the Earth. But we're not there yet. I want you to try to go a little higher with me. And at this point, we're going to kind of warp speed, okay? We're going to really go out there. April 2017, last year, you might have heard of Cassini. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Cassini, the spacecraft that's orbiting Saturn, has been for a while, apparently. As that spacecraft that we have sent out is orbiting Saturn, it's taking pictures. And it sent a picture back in April of 2017 of the Earth. I think a number of you are familiar with what it looked like. A little speck of dust. Now, this huge, vast, enormous Earth that this morning with Psalm 104, we were praising God because of how big and awesome it is, how many things are in it, and how high are things like these mountains. And yet, way up high, way, way up there near Saturn, the picture of it, it's like this tiny little speck. Almost like the little dust on the flower with Horton Hears the Who, right? You know, is anybody, oh, there's someone living down there? I almost didn't even, almost sat on you. You know, I mean, that we're it's perspective, right? Perspective here. But here's the perspective we want to see. That Cassini spacecraft was 870 million miles from Earth. Now we're getting somewhere. But not yet nearing the edge of heaven. That's just still in our solar system. Try and imagine all that and hear our text. Look with me at Psalm 103, verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. God is teaching you, God is reminding you that He is so merciful to you, his people, because the degree of his mercy is so amazingly high above all that you could ever need on earth. Marvel, beloved, over the level of God's mercy over your puny, tiny, teeny little sins. We do need that perspective because you and I, we don't want to make light of sin. There's other sermons for that, and you've heard plenty of them. But let us not make our sins as if they're bigger than God's mercy. I mean, not even, I mean, it's like a little speck. It's like nothing in terms of God's mercy to cover over it with the blood of the everlasting covenant. You see, your iniquities are so short compared to the heights of Christ's heavenly grace. Your sins are so small compared to Christ's mercy. In the text, the word mercy. Many times we've reviewed the Hebrew word is chesed. And again, I'm only giving you a touch of what it is. You can go to the sermon on Psalm 136 to hear a lot more about it, but let me review a little bit with you. His mercy is so high over you. Your sins can never come anywhere close to the heights of the mercy that God has for you. His chesed is that high. The Hebrew for chesed is rooted, remember, in God's very nature, who is infinite and eternal and unchangeable. Yes, in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, and goodness, and truth. But as our sister Mrs. Bivens asked me a while back when we were studying some of these things, why doesn't it mention mercy or love? It does in the confession, in the larger catechism. The shorter catechism is short, right? It doesn't cover as much. His mercy also is infinite, eternal, and changeable for us. Because his nature is merciful. It's who he is. And we see this in verse 8 of our psalm. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. Why? Because he is merciful. How blessed to be vessels of his glory in how he shows his mercy, Paul would say. Because God is merciful, verse 8, thus in verse 8, he has plenteous mercy to give. Thus, verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 103, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. I mean, that's lavish. He's lavishing mercy upon you, his church. He's always going to be lavishing mercy upon you, his church. Why? Because he's full of mercy. Heights and heights and heights incalculable of mercy to offer you, to give you, to replenish you with. Now, this chesed that is so high proceeds and flows from a covenant relationship. Remember, an agreement. That's the agreement of the Father and the Son in eternity. Psalm 2, Psalm 104, Psalm 40. But because you are in and with Christ, thus, as our catechisms teach us, thus with you in that covenant of grace. He's a faithful husband. He's a good father. He's a faithful husband. He's in covenant relationship with Christ and Christ's people, his church. Christ, who sits where? At God's right hand. Where is that? God's throne. Where is that? Ah, it's in the text. Verse 19 of Psalm 103. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. His kingdom of mercy to his saints, his church ruleth over all. He's so high. He's got all this mercy to cover everywhere all the time. Think about that. His mercy extends up to heaven. The edge of heaven stops at God's throne, where Christ sits. All the mercy you need to heaven, and there you don't need it, because there's Christ. You're in union with him in heaven and in his righteousness. Christ sits at God's throne on the heavens, with whom you are in covenant union. So mercy only ends where Christ is, and your life with him has already begun. Colossians 3, 1-3, you're dead. Your lives are hid with Christ who sits at God's right hand. Where's that? His throne is in the heavens. His mercy extends to heaven. There he is in heaven. So there you are. Ephesians 2, verse 6. God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. After all, Christ came all the way down from heaven to earth to save you here. Think about the verse, the word for in verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Think about the for in verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And we know David says in Psalm 32, as Paul quotes in Romans 4, how blessed is the man who can say that. He does not hold our iniquities against us. He does not hold our sins against us. That can only be said for those who are in Christ, whose lives are hid with him already in the heavens. And so naturally, his mercy extends that high. And we'll be there. For we are there. But the thing is, how can it be that his mercy is so high over us like the heavens over the earth? Or rather, I mean to say, how can it be that he doesn't deal with us as our sins deserve? How can it be that he doesn't reward us according to our iniquities, because the wages of sin is death? How can it be that we don't have eternal death hanging over our heads? How can that be? For, verse 11, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. I think maybe to get the feel of it, let's think if we could read it the other way. Maybe you could read verse 11 with thus at the end and then go back to verse 10. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Thus, verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, who after he went up into the clouds, returned to heaven, from whence he came, until the disciples could no longer see him. He was just too far up to see. Just like when you lose that balloon full of helium from a birthday party or a special event, and that balloon just, oh, there it goes, flying up higher and higher to the point where you can't see it. And then it pops and essentially is gone. That's what Jesus has done for you, going up that high, ruling over the earth from his throne. His mercy is over you that high. And when you get there, there you are, because you've been there, because of his chesed. You see, verse 11 is a visual expression of verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. It's everlasting to everlasting. His mercy continues on. And so he gives you different images of this. As we learned studying the Psalms and Dr. Godfrey's videos today, he gives us these poetic phrases to express these doctrines in different ways, to try to meditate on it and take it in more. Take in more of this mercy. Think about it. Meditate on his mercy, thinking about those examples of how high things are, and it doesn't reach to the end of the solar system, let alone heaven. The heavens, heavens, where Jesus has returned. The third heavens, where Paul even went. It doesn't even get there. And his mercy does. It's even higher, farther than that. So you even have the opportunity of being, knowing the Lord in this day where technology has expanded our sense and understanding of just how high the heavens are. Yeah, the Jews had those stars to look up and think about the promise to Abraham and his seed. I think there's certainly the sense we shouldn't look thinking that they don't understand more than we often give them credit for, but certainly you have satellite images of the depths of space to show you how far heaven goes. And it can give you an even more profound sense of Christ, who is the propitiation for your sins. I mean, don't you, like me, find yourself often, I'm sure this week, needing a reminder of mercy and needing an image to help you be able to take in how sufficient it is, how exceedingly sufficient it is, how marvelous it is. Well, here it is for you tonight. Think about it this week as you go out. It's so high, his mercy. You try to jump up. You can't even jump like that mountain lion or that. You can't jump 18 feet. You can't even jump 2 stories, let alone 2 feet, I venture to guess. And if you're like me, I don't know if you can jump a whole lot higher than 2 inches. You can't come anywhere close to trying to reach up to all that mercy above you, surrounding you, shining down upon you. Take that image and bathe in it this week, beloved. You see, the more you can think about that, the more you can not let sin bring you down to the depths of despair and the devil deceive you and you think it's just thinking the mercy's been spent up. Because the only place to go with that is more sin and more suffering. The only option is to look up. And look how high is the Son of Righteousness coming for you with healing in his wings. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Is there any point within that continuum that doesn't include you and one of your sins? Including right now. No. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Or said differently, in Psalm 136, 26 times at the end of every single verse to screw it into your thick heads and mine. You know what it is. What is it? His mercy endureth forever. Think a little bit higher past the treetops. His mercy endureth forever, higher still past that tall building in Dubai. His mercy endureth forever. The Laguna Mountains, El Capitan. Bye-bye, skydivers, passed you a long time ago. His mercy endureth forever. Mount Everest, you're like a little ant, I'm looking at you now. His mercy endureth forever. In the plane above the clouds, the NASA space station, past Saturn itself. And beyond in infinity and beyond. His mercy endureth forever. Don't be stubborn and make your sins anywhere near that. They're not. Don't let them be like that to you. And cast their shadows upon you. Let the sunlight of Christ, so very high, rain, just come right down upon you, and there's no shadows. Straight down on you. Look up. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward you. In Christ, from Christ, of Christ, with Christ. Squint if you will. Yet look up and see. Your sins are out of your view, because they are out of God's sight. Because of how high God's mercy is to you who fear him, your transgressions are effectively out of your world. Now, isn't that a heavenly thought? Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Or to put it another way, God's mercy is awesome. This morning the message was, God's animals are awesome. Tonight the message is, God's mercy is truly awesome. Let us pray. Almighty God, your mercy toward us is as high as the heaven over the earth. So therefore, it can be said in verse 12 of our sermon, of our psalm, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us, infinity, never to touch us again. Thus, Almighty God, let us approach your throne in the heavens where Christ sits and where we sit next to you in the Holy of Holies. Let us approach your throne of grace with confidence, seeking mercy in our time of need. For it is super abundant, exceedingly high, inescapably effective, precious, constantly shining from the Son, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.